This is Chimp Haven, the American National Chimpanzee Sanctuary in Louisiana.
Now, who's this?
That's Agnes.
Agnes, well, hello.
Meet extrovert Whitney, 24-year-old shy and retiring Jill, and playful teenager Tessa. These girls are no ordinary chimpanzees. They've spent their entire lives in laboratories being used for medical research.
It's a hell of an autobiography, isn't it? Data and
absolutely
procedures.
In 2015, the US government ended all testing on chimpanzees. Now, 550 chimps are leaving the labs forever and moving to new homes, where they'll have experiences they've never had before.
Tree climbing!
That makes me so incredibly happy.
It's time for us to give them a great retirement.
I'm going to have to, I'm afraid, look at some of those costumes.
There's some good ones. We have a big giant banana.
Of course you do.
To follow their rehabilitation as they adjust to their new forever home.
That was to the face, I won't lie.
I do know how you feel when you look at an animal and they look right back at you. That I do know, and how brilliant that is.
I'm here to meet Whitney and her gang of girls.
Jamata, Paula!
As they prepare to meet a group of boys for the very first time. And hopefully form a family troop.
It's like they've been waiting for each other all their lives, you know, it's like it's completed the group.
I want to find out if there really can be life after the lab.
You have a little kiss, I can't bear it.
Sue Perkins and the Chimp Sanctuary. Hashtag Chimp Sanctuary. A car travels along a road in Louisiana. Sue's face is reflected in the rearview mirror.
So it was just 18 months ago that the federal government here in the States finally decided to retire all the chimps being used for experimentation in medical facilities. And they're going to come here to a retirement sanctuary known as Chimp Haven. And of course I'm excited to get to see the chimps up close. It's something I've always wanted to see, but there's a degree of fear within me because in doing so, I'm going to have to actually confront their backstories. I'm going to have to find out what we did to them, what sacrifices they made for us, and ultimately, on balance, whether or not it was worth it.
The car stops at a metal gate.
Is it possible for a 47-year-old woman to be too excited? I think it is. I'm feeling it.
A sign reads, monitored by security camera.
Hey, this is the BBC team.
Okay. Already I feel I'm going to have to emotionally pace myself because I nearly burst into tears just at the signage. Chimp Haven, a new beginning. Let's not throw all the tears into the mix before we start.
On the way in, Sue presses her face against the car window as they drive past chimp enclosures.
Oh, man, I can see chimps.
Hello.
Hello.
You must be Sue.
You must be Amy.
Yes,
I am. It's good to see you. I'm more welcome.
I'm meeting Amy Fultz, co-founder of Chimp Haven and head of behaviour.
It's already, I'm very drawn.
Yeah.
I've seen my first chimp. Is that a good kicking off or a bad kicking off?
It's a good kicking off.
Okay,
always
good.
For almost a century, humans have subjected our closest animal relatives to medical testing in search of cures for diseases like polio, HIV and hepatitis.
Amy, is it wrong that I feel very at home in this outfit?
You look great.
I'm feeling it. I'm rocking a sort of Holby City vibe. This is good. So take me to the operating theatre. I'm ready to go.
In the 90s, as the UK banned testing on chimpanzees, US research reached a peak, with 1,500 chimps living in labs across the states. Chimps have been retired to Chimp Haven for the last 12 years. But since testing ended, new arrivals are increasing rapidly. It's now home to 214 chimpanzees.
They're saying hello.
Hello.
They're riding in a golf cart.
That's Agnes.
Agnes, well, hello. What gives?
Good girl, Agnes.
I think that's why I'm so drawn to chimps. It's like you mirror them, they mirror, yeah, like you would with a child, you know.
I have always been against animal testing and have deliberately avoided talking to anyone involved in that world. However, Amy first started working with chimpanzees in a laboratory in the early 90s.
I was actually a behavioral person. I was a research assistant doing behavioral work. A part of my job was helping the chimpanzees to psychologically be happy, as well as, you know, the veterinarians taking care of their physical care.
You see, damn you, Amy, you're the first person I've actually met who's worked with laboratory chimps, and in my head, you're demonic. You can't be a decent person who wants to provide aftercare for these animals. You're the bad guy. How dare you be so nice and considered?
Riding through the grounds.
So we're going to go meet our six newest girls, Whitney's group.
Whitney's group?
Whitney's group, okay. Yes. They're getting ready to meet some boys for the first time.
And when was the last time the boys saw girls?
I don't know.
Okay, that's going to be a heady surge of testosterone coming at you then.
Whitney and her girls arrived from a laboratory in New Mexico where they lived together for 10 years.
Usually when the chimps are introduced to one another, they have to establish who's going to be the boss. And that may end up being one of the girls in this group. We have some very strong female personalities in this group. And we also have a strong male personality in Pierre. So there might be a little bit of...
Pierre?
Pierre is one of the males.
Do you know what? I am gagging on meeting Pierre. Pierre has already piqued my interest.
Amy unlocks a door.
Are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready.
Great.
New arrivals spend 3 weeks in quarantine where their health is assessed. The next stage for the girls is to be gradually introduced to the boys.
Hey, Lindsay, I want to introduce
you
to Sue.
Hey, Lindsay and Sue. Good to see you.
Sue.
Can I see them, or can we go straight in, or what's the procedure?
Well, we need to get on what we call PPE, which is personal protective equipment. One thing that probably Lindsay and I both agree on when you're meeting these guys, it's good to sort of make yourself a little bit smaller. You can nod to the chimps.
So I just do on this sort of crab-like. I'm trying to get the...
Once they kind of get used to you, but you're just making yourself kind
of
small.
Yeah.
You can also reach your hand out.
So firm like that or more like that?
Kind of like you're being submissive.
I'm just in the shadow of quite a large biohazard sign. That's always very reassuring.
These chimps have been used in hepatitis and HIV studies in the past. So another reason for all of the garb.
Let's do it.
All right, ready?
Oh man, I'm so excited.
Pierre and his boys have been waiting 6 years for the right group of chimps to be introduced to.
I think the girls are on the right, boys are on the left.
They've been placed in holding pens opposite one another to get acquainted from a safe distance.
Wearing a face mask, plastic visor and surgical gloves, Sue watches the energetic chimps clambering around in their small metal enclosures.
The girls have taken on their role of lay low.
I just got a good bit of spit on me, that's good.
Pierre.
Big spitter was who?
Well, Pierre is usually the spitter. He's gonna tell you that he's the boss.
Yeah, I believe him.
He probably
will do
that a lot of times whenever you're...
For all those people who look at chimpanzees and think, I want to hug one. Just it's the power, the raw power.
Exactly. Walk through the wing one time and you realize how strong they are. You've entered their area.
For sure.
Their
this is
bedrooms.
Their bedroom.
Exactly.
In terms of looking directly at a chimp, particularly the male chimps, is that advisable?
Yeah, I wouldn't look directly in their eyes. It's a form of you're challenging them.
Sure.
So you kind of just want to look around them. But you can look at the girls. You know, it's more for the alpha males and things like that.
Whitney.
Did you find
so that's sort of like a greeting, is it?
Exactly. That's way better than spitting.
Yeah, can I just say, lads, you should be ashamed of yourselves. I've had a lot
he's
of...
He's got a mouthful of water.
Yep.
Oh, yeah,
he's
tough.
Now.
Oh! And I was even shielding you.
The chimp sprayed Sue with a globule of spit.
That is Pierre.
Oh, that was Pierre.
That was Pierre.
And it's kind of warm, too. I think he held it in his mouth for a little while. Oh, it's warm. Good, yeah. Chimps usually don't spit in the wild. That's something that is kind of they do in captivity. It's to get your attention. They probably want to say hi in their own way.
I mean, there are different ways. Look, I mean, this technique is much more effective than me saying hello.
He's
nodding.
Jill, she's the sweet one. She lays back really quiet. She watches out for her group. She alarm barked whenever the boys were about to spit on you, so she had your back too.
Jill, you are fast becoming my favorite. You sort of come in, first of all, with Whitney, who's giving it some, but you stay for Jill. I'm no behaviorist, but I'm thinking that Jill's pretty relaxed now. We've got Jill to a very chilled out space.
She's relaxed, yeah.
That I'm happy with.
Yeah, exactly.
Jill, you've taken my heart. I can't leave Jill now. I'm over-invested.
Sue flinches as a jet of spit strikes her on the arm.
And Pierre, once again.
That was to the face. I won't lie.
He gets his point across that he would like your attention.
Well,
he's like, stop turning your back on me.
I'm all yours, pal. What's next? Very submissive. Please don't spit on me again.
Go into an environment like that and you've no idea what you're going to get, and it was so intense. It was frightening, properly frightening.
When those male chimpanzees start throwing things and start smashing at the bars, the primal part of your brain just wants to run, because they are dangerous animals. But then, just when you're dealing with all that...
I had this extraordinary connection with Jill, and it's just lovely. I don't understand anything about genetics, but I do know how you feel when you look at an animal or a fellow human, and they look right back at you. That I do know, and how brilliant that is.
If all goes to plan, the hope is that Jill and Pierre's groups will live together in a mixed-sex troop, just as they would in the wild. Eventually, they'll move into one of the three forest enclosures at the heart of the sanctuary.
Where's this?
So we're at one of our forested habitats. It's approximately 4 acres. Part of Chimpaven's ethos is that we allow the chimpanzees to be chimpanzees.
All the chimpanzees at the sanctuary are still reliant on humans for food.
Hey, Mark, we're ready for the Robinson release, please.
They've been waiting in their bedrooms while staff distribute their dinner.
A grassy, forested enclosure.
There they are!
Great!
When we started Chimpaven, we didn't really know how these habitats would work because the chimps really hadn't had access to a forest. And we were pleasantly surprised the second day that they were in the habitat. This group, it's a very different makeup now over the years, but they were climbing trees. And within a month, we had found the first nest. So the habitats work.
Tree climbing.
That's a lovely sight.
Look how high she's going.
Oh.
Look at that. That makes me so incredibly happy.
It is magical to watch these captive-born chimps climbing trees, something they would have never experienced before coming here.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is.
And wouldn't it be great if one day Jill and her group could pick up these skills too?
A dexterous chimp leaps between branches, then hangs with one arm, while another sits in a tree, rocking from side to side.
Why isn't it possible to take these animals back to environments in Africa?
Well, first of all, chimpanzees are an endangered species.
Yeah.
And part of the reason that they're endangered is because we're losing habitat. They're also a territorial species, so they might not be welcomed into a chimpanzee group.
You can't just plonk them back into...
Right, yeah. But I think more importantly, most of the chimpanzees here have been raised in captivity with people providing their food. So trying to kind of take them from this captive environment into the wild might be a really big challenge.
To prevent the mixed-sex groups breeding, all male chimps are given vasectomies. But staff discovered, doesn't always work.
We do have what we call some oops babies in this group. 3 half-sisters, Tracy, Natalie, and Valentina Rose. And their father was Conan. And then our youngest is approximately 6-month-old named Carly.
Where?
Little hands under the belly.
No way!
Part of the reason that we don't want them to reproduce is because they live a long time. They can live up to 60 years, and every birth of a baby could potentially take the place of a chimpanzee being retired from research.
I would just be going, yeah, billions of babies, beautiful chimp babies. Let's restock the world.
A chimp sits on a branch.
Jill and the girls are due to be introduced to Pierre and his boys in 10 days' time.
Amy, I just wanted to, like, find out a bit more about introductions. It might seem as simple as chimp A meet chimp B, but of course there's a whole network of complexity that surrounds.
Yeah, the planning that actually starts very early. We have to get to know the chimpanzees and determine what family is going to be best, sort of, for them.
What was it about Whitney's group that made that the perfect fit?
I think particularly that they are so cohesive with one another. They are such a group of very strong-willed girls. With Pierre's group, Pierre's very dominant.
Very dominant.
You know, Jill is a little more timid.
I know.
And so, say Pierre decides that he wants to bully her a bit. My guess is that then Whitney and Paul...
Martha and Pori.
Yes, are all going to come to her aid.
When you introduce the group, what sort of behaviours will you be looking for?
Chimps, just like people, touch is very important. Something that happens that's, you know, maybe harder for people is the chimpanzees sometimes fight. That's sort of a worst case scenario situation. Chimpanzees can be killed.
Stop. Dangerous animals.
I don't think I'd adequately taken on board how much process there is in taking a chimp that is only used to a sterile laboratory environment and then gently weaning it off its relationship to man so that it can live in social groups in the forest. So those girls, Whitney and her crew, and lovely, gorgeous, lovely Jill, are embarking on a new phase of their lives. It's a humbling thing to see them at the start of retirement, learning all these new things, and move from these almost like holding pens where they are now, awaiting introductions, into one of those extraordinary forested habitats where they can live the rest of their lives peacefully in the way they should.
In a caged enclosure, several chimps sit idly on a concrete floor while another one lopes slowly past, now gliding over clouds. Later, drifting over verdant woodland with the sanctuary nestled among trees, one of the chimps places a slice of apple in its mouth.
With Jill and Pierre's group set to be introduced in 8 days' time, I want to learn more about the unique relationship the staff have with their chimps. The sanctuary has a dedicated enrichment team who provide toys to engage and entertain the chimps. They also give them special feeding devices, which replicate foraging in the wild.
In a storeroom, Sue finds Leilani Case.
Hello. Are you Leilani?
I'm Leilani.
I'm Sue. Nice to see you.
How's it going?
Good.
How are you?
I'm really good. So this is your special closet?
Yes, this is the closet of fun.
What the hell's it for?
Well, we have all of the puzzle-related feeding devices, but also some of the non-food-related stuff, so the coin skirts and the puppets and things that they like to look at. We have bubbles for bubble machines.
Of all the things I expected to be involved in chimp fun.
Yeah.
This is like a sort of waste adornment, and you just... Mm-hmm. What would you do with that for the chimps?
Well, you dance. Like, to a drum.
Does that happen a lot in the wild? You'll find that they'll just find that sort of rogue women will come out of the forest with sort of heavily jeweled pants on and just sort of give it some.
No. The reason we do unusual things like that is because in the wild you would encounter several different scenarios as you trek through.
In the wild, chimps are stimulated by the search for food each and every day. Here, the team have to find more creative ways to engage their curiosity.
What on earth have you got above the Kong foragers?
Those are DVDs. And we have some other DVDs over here, which is the Planet Earth, and then the Bollywood, which is Pierre's favorite movie. Let me just,
that was quite a lot to take on board. Pierre's favourite is the Bollywood classic Bride and Prejudice. Yes. What does he do when he sees Bride and Prejudice?
Well, any Bollywood, but Bride and Prejudice in particular, he likes to just watch. I think that it has something to do with the fun dancing and the singing.
Garfield? Who likes Garfield?
Oof. The babies do.
Obviously, everyone loves Miss Congeniality too.
Actually less popular.
That's a hell of a selection. So, are you working on new outfits?
We have costumes.
Oh, I knew you would. I'm going to have to, I'm afraid, look at some of those costumes. I know it's a climb,
but
there's some
good ones. We have a big giant banana.
Of course you do. This is great.
I don't even know what that is. Oh, I think we have a gorilla outfit somewhere. Yeah, that one.
Sue's in a banana costume.
Yeah, no, I personally feel enriched. I don't know how a chimp would feel, but I feel foreign enriched.
Wearing her costume, Sue's playing a steel drum beside the chimp's pen. Jill's watching through metal fencing.
Bearing in mind when I arrived, folks at Chimp Haven said that their mission was to get chimps turned as much as they possibly could into their wild state. It seems deeply ironic that I've spent most of the day dressed as a banana playing the steel drum.
No clapping!
Jill's looking as if she feels suicidal. But to be fair to them, what they're trying to do at least is replicate the stimulus, the constant stimuli that these chimps would have. And, you know, by any means necessary. So good for them. It entertains them, it entertains the chimps, it keeps them quiet, it keeps them engaged. And to be honest, I've got to go because I've got a Zumba class with Hulk. So, adios.
Looking after chimps is expensive. It costs $18,000 a year to look after one animal. And they get through 2.5 tons of food every week.
We have a diet board, which we'll be looking at and we'll be kind of going through.
They have a menu.
Yes, they have a menu.
They eat better than I do.
Absolutely.
Look at that.
They eat better than a lot of us. One thing that's always a staple is the banana. They're going to get that banana in every single bucket because that...
That's contractual for chimps.
Yes.
They will not work if there's no bananas on the horizon.
That is the highest value item we have. Number of chimps in the bucket, you'll put that number of bananas in the bucket.
That I can do.
Okay? I might sneak a fruit in there extra for him.
So everybody loves Pierre. Yes. What is it about? I mean, obviously the name.
Everybody, when they meet Pierre, are kind of intimidated by him because he does a lot of displays and he spits.
He does a lot of spitting.
And he looks very intimidating when he gets all pilo erect and he's all poofy. But he has the heart of a teddy bear.
Pierre and his friend Murphy were taken from West Africa as infants in the 1970s to be used in US labs for hepatitis B and HIV research. When the lab closed, both chimps were moved to an animal orphanage in Texas, where Michelle used to work. When the sanctuary went bankrupt 6 years ago, they all came to Chimp Haven together.
Now this, I imagine, is your favourite part of the day.
Absolutely.
A little bit of Pierre time.
That's what I look forward to every day.
Hello, Pierre.
Hey, Pierre.
Hello, my boy. You're such a
baby. Don't spit at me, Pierre. Don't spit at me, baby.
Oh, man, now this is... That's the difference between somebody who doesn't know a chimp and somebody who really is familiar. Look at that. He's getting tickled with a spoon. It's quite a specific form of play. Oh, Pierre. Yeah. Just going to keep my eyes down. I'm going to defer to the beautiful Gallic boy. So far, there's no spit, so...
Yeah, you're doing great.
He is extremely chilled with you guys.
Yes.
The Pierre I saw yesterday was really revved up.
Michelle's sister Mary also works here and has a long history with Murphy and Pierre too.
And is it fair to say that this is a landmark moment coming up for Pierre? Because very shortly he's about to meet the ladies.
Yes, the ladies.
So in 16 years, he's never been in the same enclosure as a girl.
I am not sure if actually he's ever been with ladies.
Do you think Michelle's going to be devastated if Pierre's eye falls upon, say, Whitney or Jill? I mean, is that... No. I worry for her sanity. Because no, if Pierre, I think Pierre's
she'll
eyes...
Be okay.
Do you think she's okay? Because look,
yeah,
she's...
I think she'll be okay.
I'm not sure. I think it's actually...
I'm sure she'll be a little heartbroken.
I think Michelle might need some aftercare.
Yeah, the band they have is really, really a cool
He
band.
Is a beautiful soul. The chimps here are still captives, and that's important to remember. You know, they're not free in the sense that they rely on human beings to deliver their food and a lot of their basic needs, but getting to know the care staff, you come to realise that if they can't be in the wild, then surely this is the next best thing. The amount of love that's given to them.
Come on, Papa!
Mary and Michelle's slavish adoration of spitty Pierre. This isn't just a job for the people here, it's a vocation.
The hazy orange glow of the sun peeks through thick foliage. Now, in daylight, gently drifting above woodland, then Sue is feeding lettuce to Pierre. The chimp launches a wad of spit at Sue.
Hey, Papa.
Yeah, you just want to kind of toss it in to... Oh, Papa. That's rude.
Still, it's a work in progress, my relationship with him. You know, I gave him half a lettuce, and that's what I got for it.
It's a week until Pierre and Jill's groups meet each other for the first time. Staff are keen to create larger mixed-sex groups like in the wild, as it makes the chimps less stressed and more cooperative with one another.
A chimp named Henry is perched at the top of a tall wooden pole. Sue heads through a gate where she meets primatologist Dr. Steve Ross.
Henry arrived at the sanctuary in 2009, and his group have just joined a larger chimp family in a new, more spacious enclosure.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
I'm Sue. It's good to see you.
Nice
good to see you. How's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Tell me about this fella here.
Yeah, well, right at the top is Henry, and, you know, it's interesting to see him here, you know, at Chimp Haven, because he is a little bit different than all the other chimps here. He's an expat. So his life was very different. You know, a lot of people have opinions about what the life of a laboratory chimp is like. His existence prior to coming to Chimp Haven was undeniably terrible. He lived probably about 15 years just in someone's garage, not with any other chimps, not without the proper conditions, not without the proper diet, that's for sure, we know that. And when the authorities found him, he was completely malnourished, but not only that, had no idea probably that he was a chimp at all.
But tell me about his personality. I mean, what kind of guy is Henry?
He picks his friends carefully. He's unsure, you know, as we're introducing him to this new group, about which of those other chimps might be his friends, might not be his friends, so he wants to take the time to figure it out. So you'll often see him separate himself voluntarily from the rest of the social group while he sort of considers his options.
So have there been any studies in terms of the detrimental effects that we have upon the chimp population when they're in captivity?
Well, we've known actually for a long time that chimps who are taken away from their mom develop in very different ways and very difficult ways. And when we measured the cortisol levels in chimps that had a lot of humans in their past lives versus chimps that had always been around chimps, we found huge differences in stress.
So I can see there that he's reaching for a blanket. Not a lot of blankets available in West Africa.
He lived so long on his own, he probably has attachment problems. Maybe that blanket is serving the same way like a little teddy bear.
It's his security blanket.
It's his security blanket.
I can't bear.
Anyways, that's right.
I'm really mindful of the fact that throughout our discussion, he has remained up on the top, staring at you, staring at me.
That has a lot to do with his past and how he was raised and just not learning how to be a proper chimp. We have confidence that, you know, we're going to put him in circumstances where he eventually will succeed, but it might be a little bit slower for a chimp like Henry compared to another chimp that was raised with others.
Seeing how Henry is struggling in his new group makes me worry about how quiet and introverted Jill will cope when she's introduced to the boys.
Hashtag Chimp Sanctuary. Now, Raven Jackson-Jewett, the chief vet, is making her way towards a chimp enclosure carrying a plastic water bottle.
Good morning! You gonna run? It's okay, Mama. It's okay, Phyllis. Nope, you don't feel safe. I don't blame you.
Today, I'm going to meet the vet tasked with keeping the chimps healthy, to understand the profound consequences of a life lived in the lab.
All right, so welcome to the pharmacy.
Look at this, it's all go. I mean, this is well kitted out.
Some of these tablets look a little familiar, at least.
Yes.
So something like doxycycline would be, is that a sort of a kind of antibiotic?
It is an antibiotic. And if you think about it, it's because we're so genetically similar. Our organ systems function the same way. So we have some of the same medication options and treatment of the same diseases.
This genetic similarity to humans is the reason chimpanzees like Jill were used for medical research for so many years.
Here's Whitney.
Where's Jill?
There's your girl right here.
Hey, darling. Hey, darling. Hey, yeah. Jill.
Did you say hi?
She's always curious. She's always
just sort of silently
watching on.
Yes.
Each lab chimpanzee was assigned an identification number. Jill was number 1555. She has medical records spanning over 250 pages.
Well, we know she was born on the 9th of
February of 1993.
By C-section. Her genitalia is normal.
Yes.
Just if you... Just don't give me that look. I'm just, you know... Two nipples on the right side.
Yeah, so that's one of the identifying characteristics of Jill is that she has super, what we call supernumerary nipples on the right side.
So she got one more than she...
She has one more than she's supposed to.
She's the Scaramanga of the... She's the full James Bond villain.
See here, it also says that she was slightly blue at delivery. They probably took her directly to the nursery.
So she never saw her mother?
She probably saw her mom, but probably for not an extended period of time.
So she's born in captivity, born into the laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
At what age would the laboratory technicians start infecting her?
She was utilized in hepatitis C research. She was about 2 years old when she was utilized in those studies.
It's ahead of an autobiography, isn't it?
It is.
Procedures.
But one thing I can say is that having worked with chimps, they're a very forgiving species.
But that makes it all just worse.
We may never know exactly what this chimpanzee has experienced throughout its lifespan, but you know what? This is a resilient species, and this is a forgiving species, and our goal is to make sure that these days are the best days of their life, if we can.
Yeah.
In the first 10 years of Jill's life, she was moved between labs around the country 7 times.
The sun hangs low on the horizon over the forest. A sign on a door reads 729. In a darkened hotel room, Sue turns on a projector. Dust particles float through the projector's flickering beam of light.
This is going to be very difficult for me. I bury my head in the sand when it comes to animal cruelty. I don't want to see it, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I know it exists, but I have absolutely no desire to interface with it. But of course, in this context, it's extremely important I do. So we've managed to get footage of a laboratory. This was filmed in 1986. It turns out it's exactly the same lab that Jill was at 8 years later, aged 1. You know, I connected with Jill, and now it's time for me to watch what she went through, or if she didn't go through it, what the chimps that arrived just 8 years before her went through.
In this room, highly intelligent primates have gone mad from isolation. Never able to walk or to touch another living being, they sit and rock themselves into eternity. Infected with viral hepatitis in February 1986, chimpanzee number 1164, an older male, has gone mad. Crouched on the metal slats at the bottom of his inner chamber, number 1164 rocks incessantly and mumbles to himself. The fact that chimpanzees are our closest living relatives did not save him from living death. Most of these toddlers, just 2 to 3 years old, were shipped here from an Air Force base. If they do not enter a social group now, their chances of being normal are practically nil. Starved for contact, this 3-year-old screams when the isolate door is sealed.
Sue's sobbing as she watches Petter's undercover footage.
That goes beyond medical testing, well into the realms of deliberate cruelty. How can you take a baby animal, knowing it's going to live almost as long as a human, and incarcerate it?
A full moon throws trees into silhouette. In daylight, gliding over Washington, D.C., Sue's driving a car.
I've flown to Washington, D.C., to visit the National Institutes of Health, or NIH, the government agency who were responsible for the federal research on chimpanzees.
I feel pretty nervous this morning because I'm not an academic and I'm not a scientist. I'm just a member of the public who loves animals and wants to know the benefit, if any, of sticking needles into them after ripping them from their natural environment.
The NIH is the largest funder of medical research in the world, with an annual budget of over $30 billion. They started using chimpanzees for medical testing in the 1960s.
Plaque here says that President Franklin D. Roosevelt opened the site in 1940, dedicated to furthering the health of all mankind. And I guess what I want to know is furthering the health of mankind and that of animals mutually exclusive?
Dr. Anderson became divisional director in 2010, whilst experimentation on chimpanzees was still ongoing.
Dr. Anderson?
Yes.
He oversaw the NIH decision to end all chimp testing in the US 5 years later.
Where shall I take a pee? If you were to give a snapshot of the diseases that chimps have, if not been able to cure, but certainly improve, what would that list encompass?
But they've been particularly useful in advancing human health in hepatitis A, B, and C. They were instrumental in allowing development of vaccines for A and B.
So chimpanzees have saved huge swathes of the population. They've provided extraordinary medical benefits.
Chimpanzees have been very helpful in development of therapeutic monoclonal antibodies, so-called biologics. So these are now widely used for many types of cancer. And for immune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory bowel disease, where there just can be miracle cures.
Despite these medical breakthroughs in the first few decades of chimpanzee testing, later success was harder to find. In the early 80s, America was hit by the AIDS epidemic, and the NIH began a huge chimpanzee breeding program to provide test subjects. Chimps were infected with human HIV, but by the 90s, scientists realized the disease doesn't turn into full-blown AIDS in the animal model.
I can understand there was a rush to test. How soon did you realize that the animal model wasn't going to provide a vaccine for the human condition?
Probably about a decade. The use of chimpanzees for HIV/AIDS research really dropped throughout the 90s.
I'm kind of interested to find out why that change happened in the 90s. Did you precipitate that change, or did public opinion push you?
I think it was probably a combination, but it's also the recognition in order to have a reliable animal model, the animal has to be happy and be well taken care of. Otherwise, you're studying animal stress. You're not studying a response to a pathogen.
Why couldn't we see the way that they were being housed? And why, in some extreme cases, were they being treated so appallingly?
I don't think it's defensible, really, anymore, the way they originally treated. By the early 90s, there were a whole set of new regulations from NIH about housing. You know, that chimpanzees had to be socially housed, with the recognition that they were social animals.
In 2015, the US government afforded captive chimpanzees the same endangered species status as their wild cousins. Shortly after, the NIH announced they'd no longer support research involving chimps, ending all medical testing with chimpanzees.
Is there an element of this being based upon a recognition that the chimps' best interests simply weren't served, and now they have the chance to get a decent quality of life, finally?
I put it more in the perspective of our whole approach to the use of chimps has evolved over decades. And the recognition that they are very special and they do deserve our respect.
But it was not always thus.
Regrettably, no.
Where do you draw the line between the benefits to mankind and the suffering of animals? Would you do anything to extend and preserve life free of disease?
you have people who say it's not appropriate to do any research on animals at any time. And I respect that. They came to that conclusion, and that's their opinion. And then you'll find a mother who says, my child is suffering and dying from cancer. What are you going to do about that? And it's the mission of NIH to improve human health.
I'm amazed that someone speaking on behalf of the American government about such a sensitive issue was so candid.
What I wasn't expecting was for him to just own it. Dr. Anderson to turn around and go, in retrospect, although I wasn't personally involved, I feel that we treated those animals badly. But his point was that things have moved on and, you know, they've learnt those lessons, they've changed.
We all have our own views on whether animal testing was worth it. For me, yes, I appreciate that millions of lives were saved, but it's obvious that chimps are social animals, so I still can't comprehend why they were kept in those conditions. At Chimp Haven, some animals are still paying the price for their life of medical testing. 40-year-old Cotton was retired in 2006 after being used for HIV research. Vet Raven has anaesthetised him so she can give him a full health check.
You can see he's getting sleepy. We've probably got about 30 to 40 plus that have been exposed to HIV 1 or 2, which is the human strain.
But Cotton's very special, isn't he?
Yes, Cotton has been exposed to SIV-CPZ.
Cotton was infected with the chimp form of HIV in an attempt to find a human cure. Unlike chimps infected with the human strain of HIV who show no symptoms, Cotton developed AIDS.
Ultimately, their concern wasn't the chimpanzee. The concern was us as humans and what can we do to give our counterparts a better quality of life.
A stretcher is wheeled up to the side of Cotton's enclosure. Raven prods the chimp with a pole to ensure he's sedated.
All right, no response to stimuli.
Cotton's condition has been controlled by human antiretroviral drugs. And every 6 months, he needs blood tests to check his progress.
All right, yes, come on.
Several vets wearing visors carry Cotton onto the stretcher, then wheel the anaesthetized chimp out of the enclosure. A tube is attached to the chimp's body and it slowly fills with blood.
Okay, so this is the blood work now for...
Yeah, so this is the blood that is going to determine he's still doing well on the antiretroviral therapy.
It would have been very likely, without medical intervention through the form of antiretroviral therapy, that Cotton likely would have had to been euthanized. He was not mounting a natural response to the typical day-to-day pathogens that a chimp is going to run into.
And how far is Cotton into his retroviral therapy?
He's been on now almost 2 years.
And is there a time where you'd stop administering that, or is he on that drug
no,
for life?
No, he will be on this drug for life. Hey, mister, you're peeking at me. All right, we've got some blinkage. He's looking at me, guys. All right, he's good to go. You can now touch him.
I can now touch him?
You can now touch him.
Hey, Cotton.
Okay.
This is what I want, a hand. Can I hold a hand?
Mm-hmm.
So still. Sweet.
Hey, mister.
I'm gonna come round and...
You did well, mister. Guess what, you're a superstar.
Well done.
All right.
Sue rubs the chimp's stomach as he's returned to the pen.
Look good, buddy. You look good, mister.
Is it easy for him to get access to the drugs he needs, so the human retrovirals?
If I'm honest, I had great difficulties because it had never been used or documented in the chimpanzee. So it was very hard for me to get the drugs that are ultimately giving Cotton a better quality of life right now.
That just makes me furious.
The good thing is that we were able to solicit two pharmaceutical companies that are willingly giving us the medications for Cotton free of cost.
He's done his bit.
He's done his job, and he's now in retirement, and guess what? He's living out a pretty good life.
After spending years being tested on to find a human cure, Cotton will hopefully be kept alive by human drugs
for the rest of his life.
A chimp jumps onto a branch.
Having spent time getting to know the staff here, I've begun to feel conflicted. Many of them first worked with chimps in laboratories, like head of animal care, Kathleen.
What was your first engagement with chimps?
Well, I started working with chimpanzees in 1992. One thing we need to understand, I was going to work today and I was going to make a difference.
Sure, I understand.
And the same goes for so many people across the laboratory community.
What did your family and friends think of what you did?
My father uses his voice as an advocate, and he's an animal rights activist. And heck, he even picketed outside my own lab at times. However, it led to very interesting conversation later on, and we were able to share perspectives on how each of us felt like we were helping.
Kathleen used to work at an infamous New York State laboratory called LEMSIP, known for its poor housing conditions for the chimps.
There was extreme suffering at some points, and that's, I think, hard for people to engage with and to accept.
I definitely can understand that. However, I myself have received treatment that was tested previously on animals, and so there's an appreciative aspect to what research has provided in my life.
I, like you, have received medication that inevitably was tested.
Right.
And I guess I would have liked to have known that they didn't have to undergo unnecessary suffering.
And that's a really great point. And I completely agree with you.
Do you think there's a sense among people here who've worked in the laboratory environment as a way of, sort of expiating guilt or pain or difficult feelings about the work that was done previously?
I know I don't hold guilt for what was done in the past because I felt like I was making a difference. Yeah. My decision to put myself in that in a laboratory was made specifically because I felt I was helping.
I didn't expect to meet people who'd worked in laboratory environments and feel such kinship with them and to feel that they really do have the animals' best interests at heart.
How strange that those I'd considered to be the bad guys now lead the effort to give these chimps a new and better life.
A sign reads, "Danger, authorised personnel only." Sue's in a car.
It's the day before the boys are to be introduced to the girls.
When you see chimps like Jill and you connect with her, you can't for a second understand what she's been through. But what gives me some hope is that she's about to be introduced to what will end up being her family for life. You know, a group of four male chimps who will interact with her and play with her, who will take care of her, who she can take care of. That makes me happy.
With a visor over her face, Sue follows Raven to the enclosures.
Let's see who's out.
Who's here?
No one.
Nobody's there. Classic.
It would be too stressful for the chimps to have strangers like me around when they're getting introduced.
Jill, Martha, Paula.
But before her big day, I want to check in with chimpanzee number 1555, also known as Jill.
There she is! Hello, Jill!
She's sort of away from us a bit, and you know, that's the ideal in the end, isn't it? That they have their own community and they're inward-facing rather than these
facing.
Guys.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, and they have the opportunity to choose whether they want to, what we call chimps-chimps. Jill's what we call a chimps-chimp.
But it's just nice that she's chosen to come out for a little bit, even.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. I think you've made a connection. I think she likes you.
Jill at first caught my eye because she alarm barked just before Pierre spat at me in the face. And because I just had a connection with her that maybe supersedes my linguistic ability to communicate it to you. And the next thing I know about Jill is that awful, disturbing footage of the very laboratory that she was in some 8 years later. I understand a little bit the reasons behind her aloofness, the reasons why she's not the first to come up to the grill and look at a human being again. Because for her, maybe, we're not the caregivers. Maybe for her, we're the problem.
A thin veil of mist hangs over the sanctuary's woodland.
To get a front row view of the girls and boys' first meeting, we set up cameras to record this seminal moment in the lives of these 10 chimpanzees.
Araya, Tessa, Martha, Whitney, Paula Jean, Jill.
The boys and girls have been moved to enclosures next to one another before the introduction begins.
Hulk, Murphy, Pierre, Riro. On a monitor in an office, Sue is watching a group of chimps huddled up in an enclosure.
Amy is going to decode the chimpanzees' first meeting for me.
This is the girls. The boys are on the other side.
There he is.
And there's Pierre.
Pierre's getting quite wound up there.
He's displaying, just letting everyone know that he's the tough guy in charge.
A chimp pushes a tire swing which sways back and forth. A metal hatch separating the boys' and girls' enclosures is opened.
That's the door opening.
That's Riro and Whitney, and they just cross and do nothing. Totally ignored the fact that there was a girl. This is Hulk, and he's not so sure what he should be doing. Paula said hello to him, now she's fear grinning. Riro starts screaming to Pierre. He doesn't know what's kind of happening. And there's a little disagreement. And then they're reassuring each other with the touching. They haven't been with girls before, and all of a sudden, all these girls are in their enclosure, and they're together. They're looking at each other, trying to figure out what they should do. That's a reassurance hug.
So who are these two?
That's Martha.
Martha and Murphy.
So then you see they're both fear grinning. We're scared, we're nervous, but we're gonna reassure each other by hugging and touching. And then he's inspecting her sex swelling.
He's inspecting her?
Sex swelling, her
sex
bottom.
Sex swelling.
Yes. So that's a very affiliative and pro-social thing that they do.
She's no lady to let him do that on her first meet.
Pierre and Jill.
That's Jill. So Jill's doing some hugging.
Yeah, I think you'll be very proud of her.
I'm already proud, because she was so reticent. What's this?
Okay, so that's a really important behavior. She puts his hand in her mouth. He's trusting her not to bite his hand. He literally put his hand in
her mouth. That's almost a submissive thing from him. Jill!
Watch. And Hulk completely acts like there's not another chimp there.
Oh, no.
Right?
Jill's been dissed. Jill's been throwing some serious shade there.
I think it's mostly because Hulk was scared, but Murphy's trying to be playful.
Murphy approaches Jill, but she backs off. He holds his paw out, and she tentatively lopes towards him.
Well, she's scared, a bit scared.
A little bit scared. Then look, he does the, it's okay, reach out with his hand to her, and now she's panting and bobbing, so being a little bit submissive, but he's panting back to her. So that's, again, friendly.
This is quite an interesting one-on-one little dance going on.
Yeah.
He's very interested.
He keeps sitting down. Again, that kind of makes him smaller, and he's reaching out, saying, it's okay, I'm not going to hurt you.
You have a little kiss, I can't bear it.
How sweet is that?
They're playing patter cake.
And you can see how relaxed they both look. And Pierre is wild-born, so probably lived with his mother for a period of time and learned some of these social behaviors. Yeah. Okay, so here Murphy chases a little bit after Jill. He's saying, I'm still the tough guy, basically, but they make up very quickly afterwards. But he got a little rough, and so she's scared. And she's going over to Pierre, who's holding out his hand
to her. Look at that. So, conciliatory Pierre. Isn't that interesting? Now there are girls there, that his role as the boss has moved much more into, I'm actually going to be gentle and careful and caring.
There are different types of alpha males, and what you said is exactly what it seems that Pierre will be.
A nurturing alpha male.
A nurturing alpha. So she's not sure about Pierre. Then he's like, come on, let's play.
Sitting opposite one another, he playfully tries to grab Jill's paws.
It's so intimate, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, they are mouth to mouth.
You can see them both shaking, and again, that's the panting. And her muzzle is inside Pierre's mouth at that point. So again, she's trusting him not to bite her.
He holds his arm around her.
It's like an old romantic Hollywood kiss, isn't it? When the woman is slightly obscured from view. So Jill's become quite an object of it. I mean, she's got two boys interested.
They're enthralled by one another, aren't they?
Right.
She is such a flirt. That's a proper snog, isn't it, that one? She loves it. I loved watching that. I could watch that for hours and hours and hours. It's fascinating. But how extraordinary that a chimp like Jill, who's so background,
right?
And there she is
with two of the alpha males.
Right?
She's now the belle of the ball.
She did fabulous.
Hello.
I can't leave without checking in on Jill, Pierre, and their new chimp forever family.
There you go.
Hi, girl.
Hi, Whitney.
Ladies.
It just feels different. The energy's completely changed.
This is Pierre right here.
He's not gobbing on me. There you go. Spit free, Susan. I'm amazed, though, by the change in atmosphere. Energetically, it's really shifted. They're just happy, aren't they? I mean, that's what your job's all about, isn't it? Yeah. You agree, yeah? You found love yet? That was nothing short of extraordinary.
I'm so proud of shy Jill. Not shy anymore. So central to them all getting along.
Oh, it's just magnificent, you know? It really, really is. It just feels like that group's been together forever. Simply girls meeting some boys for the first time and realising you're home.
Jill and Pierre's group have successfully formed their chimpanzee troop and will be able to enjoy life in a forest home soon.
From a lab to the lap of luxury, it worked out all right in the end. Take it easy, guys.
Jill, lovely Jill. And Pierre, sometimes lovely Pierre. Just two stories amongst the 200-odd that are happening and evolving every single day here at Chimp Haven. 200-plus more chimps to come. And if we can do anything for these animals, it's to lift them from the dry pages of scientific data and make them real. Because every time we make an animal real and flesh it out and inhabit its experiences, we stand a better chance of treating it with dignity and respect.
Hashtag Chimp Sanctuary. Cotton's blood results showed that he is responding well to the human HIV drugs. Henry has made friends within his new group and is now coming down from his pole to spend time with them. The boys and girls are doing well. Jill is still flirting with Pierre and Murphy.